The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
I want to talk about a piece. You might have seen it in the Irish Times yesterday. Dr. Maurice Houston asking whether it's right to call obesity an epidemic. Is it wrong to call obesity an epidemic as it frames larger people as inherently diseased and even a menace to society? Well, Tara Logan Buckley is a clinical psychologist who specialises in the area of obesity. Tara, does the language we use create a stigma?
Hi. Yeah, no, I definitely think that it does. I think, you know, we're living in a society where there is a stigma attached to obesity. And if we even think of the word obesity itself, there's so many kind of negative connotations when we think of that word for people. And I know that people that live with larger bodies, that's their experience of that across the board as well, from social situations, evenings out, from work, and even in healthcare, seeking healthcare professionals as well. They find that there's a lot of stigma attached to that.
And I mean, I'm not denying the existence of a stigma. I suppose what I want to understand is how much language comes down to it, and the suggestion that the use of the word epidemic as well kind of implies a diseased element to these people. Do you agree with that?
I certainly do. I suppose the easiest thing to kind of maybe correlate an argument with that with language would be, example, the epidemic that we kind of, the pandemic that we lived in just recently with COVID. We think that swept the world and we thought about all of the negative stuff that done and it took from our lives as well. And when we kind of look at the word epidemic, that's the start of that. That's the start of the movement that we're thinking about diseased and there being an issue and there being something wrong with the people that fall into that category of obesity. So I definitely think that the terminology there and the wording is stigma within itself. And actually, even the word obesity is highly problematic in my personal viewpoint for people because of where that word actually stemmed from originally itself.
Okay, well, very briefly, because I want to bring in Helen Hennigan, who's with us as well from Vincent's. But where did the word come from, and what's an alternative word?
So, for example, the BMI is typically the scale that people are kind of most familiar with, and
yeah,
that's where this stemmed from. Whereas the BMI is actually not a good measure of health at all. There's loads of kind of medical parts of that it doesn't even touch on. For example, bone density, it doesn't look at percentage of fat in comparison to muscle. So it's extremely, extremely misleading. And what happens is obesity is stemmed from the BMI scale, where a lot of people are classed. For example, a lot of women suffer with a medical condition called lipidemia. And people with lipidemia naturally have a larger BMI due to this condition. It doesn't mean that they're any necessarily unhealthy or that you would think that they have those impacts of being with the word obese. So for me, it's the issue of where obesity originated from, that word with a scale that basically is entirely outdated.
Let me introduce Helen Hennigan, the consultant surgeon at St. Vincent's Hospital and a spokesperson for the Irish Society for Clinical Nutrition and Metabolism. Helen, you're welcome to the show. I suppose what we're talking about here is a rejection, really, of the idea that obesity is a disease. Should we be doing that, rejecting that notion?
Good afternoon, Kieran, and thanks for highlighting the article that Dr. Houston wrote yesterday, because indeed it's really important to highlight the stigma that people living with obesity face every day, not just in society, but importantly in healthcare settings, and it's detrimental to their care. I think I disagreed with Dr. Houston and indeed some more Tara said in terms of the importance of labelling, I guess, obesity with a disease. And I'm conscious that I appreciate the bias that people have regarding people living with obesity and the stigma that they experience. But obesity meets all of the criteria for a complex chronic disease as outlined by the World Health Organization. And absolutely, BMI is not a good indicator of health or illness. But most people with a BMI, certainly over 35 and definitely over 40, have health consequences pertaining to weight, and they would improve or even go into remission should weight be decreased. But the importance of labelling obesity as disease is that, it is, first and foremost. It's the commonest chronic disease. It's the commonest non-communicable disease, probably globally at the moment, and certainly in Ireland. But there's an ethical obligation that comes with diseases to treat them. And obesity is a very treatable disease. And And I think getting the having it acknowledged as a disease, which all medical societies across the world have done, from the CDC to the World Health Organization to the Royal College of Physicians in Ireland and surgeons in Ireland, have accepted that obesity is a chronic disease and that we should be providing treatment better than we are at the moment. We don't fund, the government in Ireland don't at the moment provide enough funding, they certainly don't provide programmatic funding to treat obesity, but the treatments are available, they work, obesity is treatable, and we're not doing that. But having it acknowledged as a disease is the first step towards getting people really helpful treatments that can improve their health.
Tara, can I come back to you? I mean, I don't think we're all kind of ad idem on this idea that people shouldn't feel stigmatized, they shouldn't be stigmatized, and that, you know, stigmatization prevents people coming forward and seeking help if they need it. And Helen is in absolute agreement with you about BMI as a scale. But what about the argument that we have a kind of a moral obligation to be blunt with people who are overweight to the point that it is damaging their health?
I think for that, it's the approach that's taken. I think a lot of people's experience within a medical care has been that everything that they come with is linked down to weight. And that's been kind of a lived experience for people, when in fact, actually what they're presenting with actually may not be linked to their weight. Or there's such an emphasis, I think, placed on the physical aspect of it. And for me, not the psychological aspect. You know, I'm 100% in agreement that it's extremely treatable and they should be a lot more funding and treatment options there. And I think for people that, due to their experience of perhaps being in services where it was just too blunt, where there wasn't a compassionate approach taken, actually has a negative consequence by people then not actually wanting to access the support that is available there. And I think that's really a very lived experience by clients that I've had, that they've just had such negative experiences that they don't want to then seek the help that's there.
But sorry, just to go back to the issue of the complications they present with, are you suggesting that we exaggerate the negative consequences of being overweight?
No, God, I don't think that we should exaggerate them anymore, but I definitely think that there needs to be a more compassionate viewpoint taken when we're actually talking to people about the implications of having excess weight on them, instead of it being a more of a direct approach, because unfortunately that doesn't work with everybody. I definitely think that within the world of psychology and within the medical, that a compassionate approach needs to be taken, and an understanding approach, instead of it being everything directly correlated to that. And that it's the kind of, I suppose, you know, the old way, oh well, eat less and exercise more, whereas obesity is extremely complex when it comes to psychological terms. And I don't think we appreciate that it's not just as simple as eat less and exercise more for an awful lot of people. And I think if we have that approach and that understanding that actually this is a complex, there's lots of different layers to this, and that we want to support you through all of that, whatever that might be, is a better approach than, well,
yeah. I just want to go back to Helen. Helen, you're working in this day in, day out. You understand the nuances. But the rest of us, are we too guilty of what Tara's talking about, of kind of simplifying the obesity message somewhat?
I think it is oversimplified, Karen, into certainly the management of it has been oversimplified into, as exactly Tara mentioned, a lot of people, the main stigma that I think, if you know, from listening to people every day and from reading the article that Dr. Houston was referring to, was that people are often told that all of their health problems that they're presenting to their GP or to other healthcare professionals with comes down to their weight. And if they just went off and ate less and moved more, all that would be better. And that's absolutely not the case. We certainly know weight loss, as I mentioned earlier, can improve health conditions. There's over 200 health conditions linked to carrying extra weight, most of which would improve, if not remit, with weight loss. And the problem with it, diet and exercise changes are very good at preventing obesity. But when the disease exists, and by disease I mean those with severe and complex obesity, where established health problems are present along with extra weight, then you need more than prevention is no good. It's not dissimilar to telling someone who's developed lung cancer, who has been a smoker, that the treatment for their lung cancer is stop smoking. We would never do that to somebody. But yet we treat people with obesity very similar to that. Just tell them to stop eating and move more and their disease will go into remission. Of course it won't. But there have been declined opportunities to be referred to us, to our service, for, and we're in it, we are, I mean, our service is inundated, we're not funded properly to treat all the people who would be referred, but we should have many more weight management clinics in place to help people, because there are better treatments than the eat less, move more that doesn't work. That might work for, as I said, it's very good for prevention. It might work for 5 to 10% of people with severe obesity in the long term, but 90% won't have a significant improvement or sustained weight loss result with that. They need medications or surgery.
Yeah, and I know the RTE show Operation Transformation comes with its own baggage, and there's people have very strong views one way or the other on it. I have to say, one thing I always felt watching it is that actually it was the conversations they had with the psychologist were almost always the most helpful and the most interesting in terms of helping people, which is kind of what we're talking about to a degree. Isn't Helen, I appreciate your time. Helen Hennigan is a consultant surgeon at Vincent's Hospital, spokesperson for the Irish Society for Clinical Nutrition and Metabolism, and Tara Logan Buckley is a clinical psychologist.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.